Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, welcome back to The Shift. For everybody, I apologize. I didn't realize it had been a month since I had released an episode. I just recorded an episode last night with Derek Drescher and Kate Robards. They're two comedians who are both in a relationship. And that is on the Patreon now. And I'm going to wait to put that out until next Sunday. So not this Sunday. So I'm going to put this out today and then post about it on my Instagram stories on Sunday. But I do want to post the episodes on Sunday. And yeah, they're both comedians, we're in a relationship. Derek was in prison, and we talk a bit of politics as well, and just a slight bit. But they talk about their relationship and both being divorced. And honestly, I felt like I didn't have enough time, so they were just brilliant guests. And that's up on the Patreon. The video is now loading in the back, so I hope you don't hear it. My laptop literally sounds so loud when I'm trying to render or whatever it's called, video to audio when you're mixing it together. So that's just fucking taking its sweet time. That's the thing too. I think that's why, not to be full of excuses, but so when we went to Ireland, I was like, okay, I'll interview the girls. And also, by the way, this is just as a side note, this is going to be a solo podcast that I'm going to put on The Shift, just to give it a space between the episodes so that the patrons can get the next episode up first. And then for the Patreon heads, I'm going to try to not repeat anything I did in the solo, so that this will also be like fresh and new for you guys as well. I'm not doing a video of this because I look like shite, and yeah, I keep getting fucking sick. I'm literally drinking tea with ginger, orange, chamomile, mint, lemon all mixed in one right now, trying to get over this fucking cold. I've been getting colds literally once a month, like as regular as a period, so I don't know what is going on. My dad was on the phone. He was like, oh, it looks like you need a flu shot. I was like, I got the fucking flu shot. It didn't fucking work for me. I don't know if it made me worse. I'm not getting a flu shot next year. And then I'm gonna be like a little science experiment. I'm gonna check and see if I get, because someone was like, oh, it's important to get the flu shot so that you don't give older people the flu. But I'm getting the fucking, or is a cold different? I don't know. But I just feel like every time I get the flu shot, I'm just worse. I don't, or else my immune system's just shit. But anyway, so basically, just going to do a solo episode. And then if you want to get a week early back on the Patreon, that's up there. And then Mohanad El Sheikhi, who's been on before, he has a podcast, and it's about, they go back over, I think, oh god, I have to Google now. I feel so bad because I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong, what's called, like, so like I'm born in the 90s and the 2000s, oh, the wrong decade, sorry, that was the word I was trying to look for. Also, if I sound weird, it's because it's fucking cold. But let me just check, because I forget which decade, but he basically, him and his co-host do talk about those reality shows. And when he was talking about it to my friend, she was like talking about those reality shows too. So I was like, oh, I feel like a lot of listeners would find that interesting. So let me see. Why isn't it coming up? Oh, Madrew's coming up to say hello. I was a little insulted because he literally, once I started this, couldn't have gotten down off the couch quicker. And I was like, God, my voice must be really annoying. But no, he's back up now. Lovely cat. So one second, let me just find. Because this would be good as well if you have any questions. We're going to record this on Sunday and then I'll put that up on the Patreon too. So the podcast is called If You Could Do That on Television. And, oh, reality show TV from the 2000s. So remember, like, The Swan? The Swan? Was that what it was called? I remember watching that as, like, a young person. A young impressionable person. Now, it never made me want to get plastic surgery, to be honest. But it was, like, it scared the bejesus out of me because, like, people afterwards be like, yeah, I didn't recognize my, like, imagine that, like, you're, because you're inside, what's it called, like, your conscience, your insides, you hear me, are connected to how you visually look or whatever, and to just automatically look like a completely different person. It's not like slowly over time. Oh God, I would just have like a complete identity crisis. And then you have to go back to your, like, because this is your thing as well. I remember watching one episode and this girl became like, you know, whatever at the time was traditionally a 10, which, as we know, as someone in my 30s know, that every fucking 5 years, what they expect women to look like, what the utmost beauty is, like in mass media or whatever, changes. You know, it's be skinny, actually be thick, have a small arse, have a big arse, you know, big lips are beautiful, tiny lips, big eyebrows, tiny eyebrows, wear pants, you know, high pants, wear pants that show off your pubic hair. Like, it just changes every fucking 5 seconds. So at the time, like, you know, and she was just this, like, whatever was stereotypically, you know, wanted at the time. And then she goes back to her, like, she would have married and had kids and would have married at her level. You know, you tend to, like, not, like, people don't date crazily out of their league. Not saying that there's leagues and it should be all about personality. God, is this what I'm saying? Terrible. But you know what I mean? Like, then she goes back. And, like, how does that make him feel as well? Is, like, he happy to have a babe? Or is he, like, is she going to fucking leave me for, like, her gym instructor or whatever? Or does she then feel like, oh, I'm out of his league? I don't know. And that's, like, shit we shouldn't feel, of course, because she loves someone for their personality. But, like, it's just adding so much more problems. Like, just go get a haircut. Anyway, but was crazy. I hope I'm articulating that properly. Sometimes I'm saying things and I'm like, I hope that doesn't come across as mean. But I just think, yeah, what a wild show. So I'm going to talk to him about that and his other, the other shows that they talk about on as well. Like, remember there was like Room Raiders and all of those, and Pimp Your Ride. So yeah, that's what their podcast is about. So that'll be a fun episode. And and that'll be up on the Patreon. So we'll go back to Sundays. And sorry. My excuses. So basically we went to Ireland and then I was like, okay, I brought my recording equipment with me. I'm now using Leland's because I left it home in Ireland because I didn't have enough fucking space to bring it back. And I was like, oh, do you know what? This will be good when I go back at Christmas and I can record then. Sorry. I don't know if you heard that, but my knee just cracked. But anyway, I didn't get a chance because we were actually so busy driving around. And and then kind of by the end of this day, all the like horrific stuff that's happening right now in the news had just kind of broke out as well. So I didn't want to ask the girls to like jump on a podcast. And then I just came back and everybody was just going through stuff. And then I had a really bad cold. And then I was just catching up on stuff. And I just literally couldn't seem to, like, I felt like I was chasing my tail since I came back. And before that, I've been traveling so much. Like, I thought I was like, oh, okay, I'll get an episode done with Tori in LA, but then I couldn't bring the equipment. And then I thought I'd get an episode done with a mama or a Thier or and both. And then we couldn't just with the timing and then, you know, with everything going on. And so, yeah, so here I am. But that's, you know, a lot of excuses. I should have. I just felt like I couldn't catch up. But I do want to at some point hire someone to help with the podcast. But the thing is, like, everybody you ask for help, it's like, oh, they're like, okay, I just do clips or I just do this or I just do that. And I don't really know what exactly. Like, I think what I need is someone to, like, do an Instagram or a TikTok for the podcast and do clips, but also like kind of produce it. But then it's not making, I'm not like making enough money to really, like, a lot of people they're expensive, but then you don't want to take advantage. So I don't know, my goals this year is to keep just getting more successful, fingers crossed, and then invest more in the podcast. But I really like using the home studio. Like, even the guests last night were like, oh, that like it's really comfortable and cozy. So I'm happy with that. And we have all the equipment. It's just more the workload. So I don't know if anybody's listening and they're like, that's my job, I can do that. But this week I wanted to talk about, and sorry if I breathe heavily, my fucking breath has been bad. I just think it's because of COVID, but whatever. I wanted to talk about two things. Firstly, there is a listener wrote in, and please write in as well if you have dilemmas, because that helps. And like, remember, I'm not at all qualified, but as someone who's been in a lot of toxic, majority toxic relationships, like the other day, Leland was like something like, oh, you're the best girlfriend, and I was like, you're the best boyfriend, and I was like I mean that, but also like my case study, or my, I forget what I said to him, something about my, me saying that and having dated like a lot of, been in mostly toxic relationships isn't like the best compliment, but he is obviously an amazing boyfriend, so I'm very lucky. But yeah, so someone wrote in saying that every time they try to break up with their partner, their partner won't let them, and then there's always that kind of guilt in on why they fuck up. And sorry, I'm trying to remember because I can't find a screenshot, but always guilting them into staying, and then they always feel like obligated to stay, and you know, the person is always going through something, so they kind of can't leave. And so I kind of feel like I relate to this sort of scenario, because I've been in that situation with partners, and I've been in that situation with friends. And I think if like every time you try to, so let's say when it comes to friends, because I think this can happen with friends too, where you're like, actually, you know, I don't like the way you've been treating me. But every time you go to have that conversation, if they're like, well, I've been going through hell, or I've been going through this. And then you kind of, a lot of people tend to be like, okay, well, I don't want to like bother them with this, or with like how they should treat me. And you kind of just continue to be a friend, or you continue to be in the relationship. And then it goes so far that you're like, okay, well, I've been in it this long, I might as well stay friend or be in this relationship. And so then you, it's kind of easier to stay than to get out, if that makes sense. I think like getting out of a relationship, if it be with like a friend or a partner or a parent or whatever is toxic, the getting out part is really hard, and sometimes they wear you down. So it's just fucking easier to be with them than to even think of the headache they're going to give you when you get out. But I will say that once you get out, and then the time to give yourself like alone, you need to be alone if it's from a toxic friend or a toxic boyfriend, the time to give yourself alone really helps give yourself that clarity for the first time. So you nearly need to do that. Do you know what I mean? Because if you don't give yourself that alone time, that headspace, that being on your own, like you've done it, you've ended it, and you deal with all of that drama that unfolds, all of that drama that you're worried about, is going to happen, that explosion. But then a few days, a few weeks after that explosion, after that, you know, when you can kind of have a bit of clarity and see beyond the mess, that's when you know how you really feel, because you're able to hear your own voice. You're able to, sorry, big motorbike going across off downstairs. I don't know why they have to be so fucking loud. You're able to understand what you want more. So you nearly have to do that. And then if you want to go back after that, fine. But like most of the time what happens is you go, actually, that person is really toxic and I feel so much better and I feel saner. And a lot of time what toxic people will do is they make you feel a little insane, because they make you question your words, and they make you question like, well, how could you leave me when I'm going through this? How could you not be my friend when I'm going through this? And all of, and instead of playing your guilt emotions, instead of being like, you're right, do you know what, take your space or take your time while I sort this out. Because most of us aren't fucking therapists, and most of us, it's not our job to fix whatever you're going through. We can be supportive, and but we can't be a punching bag, if that makes sense. So I don't know if this helps this person at all, but I really think you need to break up. because, yeah, if you're trying to break up and someone's not letting you break up, that's usually a sign to break up, do you know? And look, and if you give each other both the space and you come back and be like, this is the work I've done. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the listeners will think differently. But I think this is a toxic sign from any sort of form of relationship where they're trying to make you feel bad. I hate anything that tries to make you feel bad, too. Like, there was something recently where, like, and I think a lot of it stems from our own insecurities. And that's why I think going to therapy is, like, really amazing. And I'll save you some money on therapy if you really don't want to go in a second, but I still think you should go. But that was something else I want to talk about, like kind of the things you learn in therapy. So there was a situation recently, a personal situation where I just had forgotten to respond to a text message. I was just busy. And then the person was basically like, oh, I must have offended you. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. I didn't mean to annoy you or something. And I was like, they didn't annoy me before, but now this is annoying. Do you know what I mean? Because that's not how I felt at all. That's not, I just fucking was busy and missed it. But it's just funny, like, how instead of, what's a better example, you know, when someone's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a better example without any saying anything too personal that reveals. But yeah, like, I feel like with any conversation or any argument or any disagreement, if you're not given space to hear the other person, then you're just trying to win the argument. You're just trying to win the argument. Does that make sense? Like, you're trying to win. I feel like I have all these thoughts in my head. I'm not explaining myself properly. But let's say, like, you know, when you're saying to someone like, oh, yeah, this like really upset me that you did, and can we talk about it? And if they're like, well, whatever, you're too sensitive or whatever, like you're overreacting and I'm having a hard day, I'm going through stuff and don't you know what I've got going on or whatever, or like this isn't the time, you know, my uncle passed away or whatever, and you're like, Jesus, I didn't fucking know the uncle passed away. But those type of like that type of wording is just shutting the other person down. And if they're in a relationship with you or they're a friend, it means that they're not going to feel comfortable coming to you next time there's an issue. So like if you're in a relationship and your partner is trying to say like, this is like a serious issue I'm having and can we talk about it? Even if you're not in the headspace, just be like, I hear you. I'm actually not in the headspace to deal with it right now, but like, let's circle back and we will talk about this. And then get yourself to a place to be able to listen. Because if they don't tell you what's wrong, then they won't in the future. And then 6 months down the line, they've had a couple of issues, but they've been afraid to bring it to you, then you will end up breaking up because they feel like they haven't been able to kind of point out what's wrong. You weren't able to fix it, so you continue to do stuff that hurts them, and then it kind of blows up. Do you know, like my dad is the saying, it's never what it's about. And it's, you know, then all of a sudden you're like, I fucking hate the way you put your hats on the stool. And the guy is like, what are you talking about? But it's because they haven't felt heard the whole time. It's not about the hats on the stool. It's about the fact that you didn't listen about the towels. It's about the fact that you didn't prioritize a date night every week. It's about the fact that you didn't stand up for them when your friends were talking down to them. You know, these little things that they've said along the way and you've been like, oh, it's fine, you're being silly. And they've been like, okay, I'm being silly. But these are, anyway, my point is that it's really important. And it's same with friendships. It's really important to listen and to be like, okay, right, you say your piece, and then be like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, and I you know, I shouldn't talk to you like that. And if this helps at all, I was just kind of in a bad headspace and I was taking it out on you, which is because this is, oh, and so this is the thing with therapy teaches you, like, if you're having an argument and you're getting defensive or you're getting triggered and you're getting mad at the person for triggering you, that said person isn't doing that intentionally. They might know, there might be some psycho fucking toxic person who might be doing it intentionally, but you should be able to kind of try to filter that out. And that's what therapy does. Like, so like if Leland says something and I automatically feel defensive instead of just like getting mad at him. And I mean, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be able to do this all the time. But I mean, for the most part, trying to just go, why am I feeling triggered? do you know, why am I feeling defensive? And having that conversation in your head, and it's like, okay, because you did something that reminds me of something maybe my mother would do to me, where I would feel very shut down, but like, that's probably not his intention. And so you just go, look, I'm feeling a bit triggered about this, like, is this what you mean? And 99 times out of 100 they're gonna be like, not at all, oh my gosh, let me readdress this. Or like, if they're like getting mad at you for doing something and you just don't like, you don't take well to a certain way of being spoken to, do you know what I mean? If I come out and I'm like, ugh, someone left the toilet seat up again, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example, but, and if Leland's like, I actually don't, that just makes me pissed off, but if you want me to remember to put it down, this isn't Leland, by the way, he puts it down, but do you know what I mean, if you want me to remember, like, I need you to just be like, hey, can you just remember? And then I can be like, yes, and also, can you make an effort to listen, because this is the fucking 40th time I've said it. Wait, okay, that probably sounds a bit passive aggressive, but do you know what I mean? Like, it is just communicating, and but trying not to step into like the toxic zone, which is weaponizing your words or your feelings, or being like, you know, like, yeah, you think, or yeah, the, you know, the, you're too sensitive or whatever, because everybody's feelings are valid, as they say. I don't know if any of this made sense. I hope it did, and I hope it helps that listener. But yeah, so that with the therapy thing, I think they really teach you how to, firstly, the main reason why therapy is really good, now I haven't gone back and I'm not going to go back, because I think for me, I think therapy is good to a certain amount point, but then I think there was a point where it was like, oh, I just didn't really have anything to talk about, I'd kind of gotten it all off my shoulders. And then I was like, I don't really need to talk about anything anymore. And yeah, so I think like therapy is really good, because you get to just talk about all that shit that's in your head. And not until you say it out loud do you figure out what was bothering you, or where it's coming from, or like, what, why are you feeling triggered or defensive, or why do you feel the need to prove you're the best worker in the land, or whatever these things are you're feeling, that you feel like are kind of affecting your mental health. And you can kind of figure it out with a therapist, because you're like, oh, was it because my uncle was a bit of a dick? And then you talk about it, you're like, nah, that's not it. And then you get to like unlock these things in a safe space. And I think a lot of people don't go to therapy because they have all that shit locked up, and they're afraid if they open it up, it's just going to spill out. And I totally understand that feeling. That's why I didn't go, but... Also, I might be repeating myself from older eps, but I've just been thinking about therapy a lot since I've been doing the show Therapy. But I think that actually that doesn't happen, because you get to like, it's so hard to understand what you're feeling inside until you use a word and you're like, am I angry? No, that's not it. I'm sad. Oh yeah, I'm sad. Do you know what I mean? You're getting to do that in a loud space, kind of like a soundboard, not to a friend, where sometimes with a friend as well, you don't want to like trauma dump or just use them as a soundboard. And then also sometimes you don't want to share your deepest, darkest, craziest thoughts, because we all have them, we're all like a little mental, and no one is perfect, and everybody is entitled to have like intrusive thoughts or the wildest things. And you can kind of say that to a therapist with no judgment, you know. And sometimes you might have to shop around for therapists, because some therapists are not going to be perfect, and they're not going to. And that's the other thing as well. You take what their advice is with a pinch of salt. But I just think having a sounding board, or you could also just start a solo podcast, by the way. I found that like I was thinking about like, why did I start stand up? And I think because when I did it, I was being heard. And I know that sounds fucking corny and sappy, but I think too, there's something very therapeutic about doing stand-up and being heard. And I think like a lot of us come from big families. Now, I know I grew up as a single child for a long time, but I think I can relate to other people who maybe come from big families and trying to like, you know, if your parents are busy and there's a bunch of kids or whatever, and just kind of having a voice to be heard. Or if it is that... In my situation, you know, my words were used against me a lot as a child, and I always felt like I wasn't being heard correctly, and I was always questioning like, what am I saying? Because that reaction does not equate to what I'm saying. So I was always very like not trusting of my own words. So I think stand up is nearly similar to therapy, but therapy you get to do it for an hour or 45 minutes or whatever it is. And I'll look up what Because in our, or in America, Valera Health is the one for like people who have really cheap health insurance. And then I'm pretty sure if you've no health insurance, you just look up colleges and see like where their students, and like sure, students are probably fucking better sometimes because they really want to try hard, and they're, you know, and you know, so I think students should be fine as well, student therapists. But so look up colleges. It does take that thing of looking up and the doing. And I think people like who suffer with mental health issues, and I know this myself when it comes to like depression or whatever is on with, you know, my therapist said like ADHD with my brain, is that like, and I'm sure there's levels of ADHD as well. Like I feel like I have a ton of coping mechanisms that I've developed for mine, and then other people need medication. But what was the point in this? This is a good example of the ADHD. Oh, that the whole doing for me is the hard part. Like I'll procrastinate, but the thought of doing something, like the thought of like looking for a therapist or calling or inserting, like I don't know why, but that just makes me feel very heavy and smothered, and I can't fucking do it. And then, you know, for years then my mental health does not get resolved, and so the final doing it, you know what I mean, and it's like anything, once you're doing it, it's not that bad, it's not that hard. And I think it's the thought about doing it, but actually when we do it. So if you're like, oh, I can't be fucking looking up colleges, just sit down and type it in and look it up, okay? It's actually easier to just do it, and then we spend more time worrying about doing it than actually doing it. I said doing it a lot there. And then what was the other thing? In Ireland, I don't know. I don't think the services are probably... I think the services are bad all over the world. And I think right now people are going to fucking need mental health services, because the world is just fucking on fire. So but I'll look it up before I post this, and I'll put it in the description. Hopefully I find something that's helpful, or if any listeners have any helpful. I know that Pieta House, for me when I was younger, they brought us on a tour, and someone gave a speech, and it really helped me when I was 16, because at the time I was like really fucking suicidal, and I was like cut myself, and I was kind of like, oh, when I eventually kill myself, now they'll know what was going on, which is not correct. And I'm really happy I didn't, and I fucking love my life, so thank God. And I, even though I love my life, I still go through periods of depression. I think everybody does. But I'm so glad that I don't know what it was. There was something there, and I it's like a vivid memory of like hearing just people talk about like, yeah, just about people cutting themselves and stuff like that. And I think like men punch walls, that's like a similar thing. And cutting yourself is just like focus on the pain. It's a bit of control. It's a bit of, yeah, when you're feeling you don't have control of your environment. But yeah, so I think Pieta House, that was called. I remember that being like very helpful. I only went once with school, but I remember whatever they talked about, I was like, felt very seen. And so back to stand up, I think as well, if you're like, you're the type of person who that could help. I think that could help too. Anyway, here's me like, also by the way, not doing stand-up as a career, because fuck me, it's hard. Unless you really love it, but like it'll be a long time before you make any money. But I think going to open mics, and yeah, like you might bomb and people might not laugh, but like I think there's something very therapeutic and like about speaking to a crowd and having people listen. So I would also recommend, if anybody doesn't not necessarily as a career, but I think there's something nice, or you know, and getting over like get even karaoke or whatever, I don't know, but anyway, that's singing. But you know what I mean, like I don't know why I'm even saying this, but I was thinking the other day how I think one open mic a year for people could be very good. It could be very therapeutic, and it gets over your public speaking fear, and it lets you just have like an audience attention listening to you. And anyway, so to circle back, I think that's why I started stand up. People have asked me this question a million times in interviews, and I've always been like, oh, I don't know, just did it. But I thought about it today, and it was like, I think I don't know why I physically did it, other than my friends here telling me I was funny, and everybody's funny back home. So, and I never really felt confident to be like, you know, I don't know, but I felt very confident over here, like moving to New York, kind of reinventing yourself, making friends from different cultures. And not that there's anything wrong with Irish, but it's nice to meet people from different backgrounds, different cultures. And I remember being with my Latin friends and just telling stories, and they were always laughing. They were like, you're so funny. And like, that would be just like a regular Irish person back home. Everybody told stories. Everybody was funny. Everybody was laughing. And so I think that encouraged me to just try it. And I think coming up in Ireland, where we're always kind of bantering and being funny, and you kind of had a bit of a leg up in stand-up here, not saying that I was better than anyone else, but to say that even though it was terrifying to think about public speaking, or like, but you kind of always had a story in your back pocket. Like every Irish person has a story in their back pocket. And then you're kind of good at like on the spot being quick, because Irish people roast each other a lot, like slagging, it's a big part of the culture. And then as well, if you're growing up in big families or whatever, or you want to get heard, you kind of say things as quick as possible. You kind of have to be edited, which helps for stand-up as well. So I just think it is a little leg up. But so with that being said, I just... And for the Americans listening as well, I would recommend it. Fuck it. Do an open mic. Also gives people a bit of empathy for comedians. But also go to therapy. And this is a lot of rambles, but what else? Even if you don't go to therapy and next time you get defensive, I just want you to do this one thing. Just ask yourself why. So I do that all the time now. And sometimes it's very validated, but at least then I can express why. Because sometimes when you're getting defensive and it's not validated, but it's because you're feeling triggered from some fucking trauma that is, you know, very real and very valid, but the person had nothing to do with it. Then your argument is kind of messy and coming from an illogical place. But at least then, it also as well, if they trigger you as well, then you can kind of go, oh, this is a me thing. And I mean, it doesn't go to an argument then. That's what I think. But what do I know? Hold on, my friend is... I'm so out of breath. Oh, hold on one second. I'm just going to pause this because it's a friend emergency. One second. Okay, so there would have been no pause for you, but there was pause for me because a little friend drama. And nothing bad, but like just advice needed on a... Anyway, but anyway... I can't even remember what I was saying. I'm uploading the video now. I think I was just talking about therapy and how good it is. I don't know if those tips help as well. You know what as well? Sometimes you meet someone who just comes from a family who loved them and they just go out in the world with like absolutely no insecurities and just... sort of navigate the world without like projecting or feeling jealous, like unreasonably jealous, because there's obviously everybody feels reasonably jealous but unreasonably, and you're like, where the fuck did you come from? But I think we're all works in progress, and I think it just makes your life easier. My life has been so much easier since I went to therapy, and like I did take things personally, but it's like, how do you not go out into the world taking things personally or feeling defensive or acting a certain way when you come from an environment where you're literally walking on eggshells and everything you say is used against you, or, you're put down or whatever, you know, you know, and then like, I grew up in an environment where even like sleep wasn't a guarantee. So, and my environment is still better than other people's, typical Irish as well, to devaluate your trauma. But, I think it's just really good for everybody, even if it's something as simple as, and you don't think that this is, but like you always wanted praise from your parent and they didn't give it to you. That's when you go to therapy and figure out how to learn to like self-love and run to the self, as my therapist said. She made me write that down one day, but it is true. Like ever once I kind of, you know, I feel like I started with my mother and was like, this is not for me, and then I dated people like her and then I realized that's not for me and I'm just recreating it, and then I had friendships like her, and I have to say since I've been to therapy and kind of I saying clean house seems offensive, but like I mean cleaned house pretty much, my life has been so much better. And if you're work on like being alone and enjoying your own company, and then you put effort into the friendships that you value, because the problem is, well, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner or whatever, or a friend who is consuming you all the time with their negativity and toxic, and you feel like you have to save them or help them or be there for them all the time because you're too nice to even just set boundaries, you actually miss out on really healthy, what's that word, like not benefit but like I forget the word I'm thinking of, but like really adding value to your life. I'm playing that fucking letters game on New York Times, and honestly, I'm actually not bad, but when it comes to, when I never get the really large words, and I'm like, oh, cotton mouth. I didn't know that was a fucking word. Anyway, that was just from, I was annoyed with the New York Times spelling bee yesterday, because the first word I thought of was cunt, and they were like, that's not a word. I'm like, that's a fucking word. And the word that they were looking for was cut out. Fuck off. Anyway, I'm out of breath. Sorry, what was I saying? Oh yeah, you miss out on those friendships that are going to be really meaningful. Thank you. That was the word. Meaningful to your life. And ever since I've kind of focused on like those healthy relationships, those relationships that over the years haven't asked much from me, like, you know, like a cup of tea once, twice a week maybe, or even once a month, that I've been friends with for years, I'm like, oh, these are actually very valuable relationships. And the problem is, when you let someone toxic in, you don't invest in those relationships. So anyway, to say that you might seem like you'll get out of that relationship, that toxic relationship, that all-consuming love, and feel like you're going to be alone, but actually you'll slowly build better connections with people that don't need a constant reassurance or constant attention or whatever, and in the long run. So it's kind of like, you got to just do the little things, but in the long run it'll make sense. You got to give yourself that space that, you know, you do the little things that in a few years you look back and you go, oh Jesus, like I really was having, you nearly are in brain fog with it. That's, I feel like that's a good word, yeah, because you can't really think properly. And then when you get out, you're like the way when you're like stressed at work and you go on a holiday and you're like, oh yeah, actually this job is not helping, or I need to work a little less or whatever. But the holiday gives you that clarity and that space to make those decisions. So yeah, so therapy, it's a good one. What else was I going to talk about for this? Obviously the news is fucking mental. I keep looking at blind, but I'm just gonna check because I don't really listen to any podcasts, and I want to try listen to more. So if you guys have any good recommendations, tell me. But yeah, so I did listen to one of Blind Boy's episodes, and it was with the woman who Dr. Katrina O'Sullivan. I thought it was brilliant, and I sent it to a few friends waiting for them to listen so I could talk about it. None of them fucking listened, but anyway. But I thought it was really good. I just related a lot to what she was saying, even though we had different childhoods, but I related a lot to that kind of, and you know what the thing is as well, like, so Tori's boyfriend Kai told me a lot about this as well, and Tori would have told me a lot about this, but how, like, you know, children with dyslexia are kind of, they were like received a lot of like, oh, you're like stupid or whatever, when actually people with dyslexia are really good problem solvers, think outside the box, really, really good to hire actually, because they're not your atypical thinker. And so people with ADHD and anybody who's not neurotypical, it's good to hire as well as having atypical people or whatever it's called, because you don't want to have people just who think the same, like, and so like someone with ADHD, yeah, I can't fucking watch the TV while you're on your phone because the lights distract me. And I won't say that if I'm in public, but if you're in a relationship with me, I'm going to be like, don't be on the fucking phone. Or like, you know what I mean? But I also have a way of thinking that's different than Leland. And Leland's way of thinking is great as well, because he's able to kind of have a different, like, A to Z, but I'm able to be like, okay, but what if you put Z over here and then go to the moon and then the stars? I don't know. This isn't literally not making sense. I wish I could articulate how I feel sometimes. But let's see. I was trying to see if Blind Boy would do a podcast on what's going on, but no, he didn't. But yeah, I think everybody's feeling a bit like, just like, firstly, I feel like we all have different news algorithms, and like what some people are posting here, I'm like, oh, they're definitely not seeing the news that I'm seeing, because the news I'm seeing is fucking horrific. But yeah, so I think it's just a strange time to be living in. So I hope you guys are all okay and doing okay. The only last story I want to talk about was, oh yeah, so when we were, you guys can tell me if this is mental or like normal. When we went to Ireland, me, Amama, Thier, my dad, and my stepmom were just sitting around having a glass of whiskey. It was actually so funny because, oh, well, anyway, no, I was going to say something else, but like, I was just going to go off on a different story, and I tend to, so I'm going to try to stick to the one story. But and I don't think I said this on the solo Patreon. So if I did, sorry, and I'm repeating myself. But basically my dad was like, I don't know how they got in the conversation of how, let me take a sip of water. But my dad was talking about how, oh, they used to put a finger up a man's arse, and that was to check their prostate. But now they do it by a blood test. And I was like, oh, why don't they do blood tests for women? And they all kind of looked at me like, did I think there was prostate up a woman's arse? And I was like, I don't think there's prostate up a woman's arse, but like my gyno always puts a finger up my arse. And they were like, they just all like mouth dropped, like Adair was holding some cross stitch thing and she just dropped it. And the mama was looking at me, and then my stepmom like grabbed my arm, and they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, every annual for like the last four-ish years, I think. And then they were like, they're not meant to do that. And like, in fairness, like she is always like, oh, do you want me to do this? I'm just like, yeah, whatever you need to do. So I was like, yeah, but she's like checking up there. And then they were like we were laughing because it was also like, it's kind of funny, but like, also maybe not funny, because I don't know if I'm like, if my doctor is doing the wrong thing. But they were like, no. I was like, does your guy not do that to you guys? And all three of them were like, no. And I was like, okay, so maybe it's not normal. So, oh fuck, I have to call. Oh fuck, I forgot. I meant to call a new guy now to try and change over. Oh my god, I'm literally gonna have to do that right now. But yeah. So either she's doing some new gyno technology, or I've maybe been molested by my gynecologist for the last 4 years. I don't know. I recommend her to people as well. And like, one of the girls I recommended her to was like, oh, I actually didn't like her, I'm just going to get another one. Like, Jesus, maybe. Anyway, I feel like in that episode of Friends where your man, when Chandler's getting his suit tailored, and then they're like, that's not what a tailor is meant to do. So we'll see. But my dad was so funny because he was like, well, at least now you'll get a good bit out of it, which is just like so Irish to be like, maybe like, you know, like not to be like, do you need therapy? Are you okay? But oh, you get some good comedy out of this. But yeah, I am fine, because like, whatever, it's grand. If it's not the thing you're meant to do, I'm just going to go to a different gynecologist, and that's grand. But yeah, what was the other stories of being in Ireland? I can't remember, but I talked all about it on my Patreon solo. And I'll leave you with this. It's like, I think this is kind of fun, because like with my dad, you know, I feel like the same with my brothers, you'd always kind of bond through talking about shows or movies or whatever. I mean, my dad would go to the cinema all the time when I was younger. But so my dad was watching a series. He was like in season 4, right, of The Last Kingdom. And I was like, oh, I'll just watch it with him, because it's a kind of a way to bond. And so we were watching it, and we watched the whole season 4. And I honestly had to like look up a lot, like what was going on, because I haven't seen the first 4 seasons or the first 3 seasons. But then at some point, as like, because it's like a show about like murder, it's Vikings, okay? And so when they have these shows for each episode to try and not make it just all murder and very graphic dying, they'll put in like a bromance or a romance, and like nice dialogue of them talking and like their feelings, just to kind of break it up. But every time that would come on, my dad would fast forward through it, like, you know, this is like inappropriate, we don't need to see this, this is not important. And he would fast forward to get back to the murder. Like, he only wanted the action, the murder. So I missed pretty much half the dialogue of the shows. But it was just such a fucking Irish dad response to be like, oh, they're getting emotional, I'm uncomfortable, let's fast forward to when they're stabbing each other again, that's better. So yeah, but now I've started from the start again. And my favourite, Charlie Murphy, such a fucking fantastic actress, is in one of the seasons. That was really cool. I'm actually dressing up as... Oh my god, I know, I'm 33 and I'm dressing up for Halloween. I don't care. But I ordered like a type of outfit that'll make me look like her character in it, because I'm going to be the Irish pagan queen, and Leland's dressing up as Uhtred, so he's the Viking. But I'm going to love yous and leave yous, and I'm going to upload this probably today or tomorrow. It just seems wild to be even like doing podcasts or you know, posting stand up or whatever with everything that's going on right now. But on the other hand, I'm like, okay, I kind of took a step back from the podcast. But actually, like, when shit's going down, I know my favorite form of escapism is TV, and it's really just TV. It's gonna be like, and reading, but no, I do love reading, but I'm just lazy with it. But with TV, and if I didn't have that, I don't think I could deal with the world. That's why I get annoyed when people are like, you watch so much TV, or how do you have time to watch? Yeah, if I don't, I will jump off a bridge. So I think these little things and little stand up or whatever and posting clips, and oh, and my JFL is out if you guys want to watch it. It's on Just for Laughs Katie, or it's in my link tree. And my posture is fucking ferocious in it, but that is something I will work on. So you can really offend people with your bad posture, by the way. They get really upset. But yeah, I guess if these things can help us just forget, because just the news right now is just fucking devastating. And I really hope that it stops, you know. And I just don't, the world we live in is a fucking mess, and I hope that it gets better. And yeah, I don't know. And like, there's loads of things going on as well, like fucking earthquakes and climate change and everything. So I feel now, you know, giving yourself a bit of a slide with your forms of escapism is okay. And then doing whatever you can to help in whatever way you feel that you can help is okay as well. But also not to get burnt out by the news, because it's just fucking horrific. And it's horrific and you feel helpless. So I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, I don't mean to say that I don't want to see it, because it's important to be educated and understand. But I just don't want it to happen in the first place. Because, yeah, as Damien Dempsey said, we are all... What did he say? We're the children of this earth. But what was the line before that? So they teach you in your schools about the glorious days of rule that's your destiny. Sorry, I went through the whole song to get to this part in my head. But that it's your destiny to be superior to me. But if any kind of mind, you'll see that all humankind are the children of this earth, and your hate for us will chew you up and spit you out. And then everybody goes, ah! But I just think about that a lot. And I think organizations and governments and, you know, can really pit us against each other, you know, if it's the Catholic Church, and or if people get mad at me because of what the Catholic Church did, which they don't, but you know what I mean, like the church was an organization that should have done good but did a lot of bad as well, and then or other organizations that to some people are, you know, anyway, not going to get into it because you guys are seeing enough news. But but I love you all, and I'll talk to you soon, and I hope you're all singing Colony. Sorry, words are so fucking hard. Colony in your head right now, which is the Damien Dempsey song. If you haven't heard it, look it up. I know all the words of that song, by the way. I just fucking love it. Okay, love yous. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.